Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Hello, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm your host, Darren Bresnitz. We have a fantastic sit-down with Steve Schwartz, the founder, CEO, master tea blender of Art of Tea. We have an incredibly insightful conversation about his travels around the world, how he started hand-mixing tea in his living room, and how he shared his vision of what tea can bring to people all over the world. And then it's a dive into the archive for a performance from Star Child and the New Romantic. It's a great live performance, a little bit of electro, a little bit of R&B, a little bit of synth cascading all of us on this Sunday. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy Snacky Tunes here on Heritage Radio Network.
Sleep last night, thinking about you. I saw you in my sleep, chased you till morning came. My mama said, follow your dreams. I guess you were my warning. Now I've let myself go. Hope you're still holding on.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I see you sipping tea. I read it's probably Ancient Forest, or have you a new blend in front of you today?
I am a big fan of Japanese green teas. So I can sip on high quality Japanese green teas all day, specifically Gyokuro. We have one called Matcha Plus, which is Sencha. It's a green tea shaded for a couple weeks to really bring that chlorophyll up, and then dusted with ceremonial grade matcha. And it's just, you get that best of both worlds, matcha and high quality leaf, whole leaf green tea combined in one. And it's just, it's like fresh cut grass and sweet corn mixed together. If you could imagine that.
I can. And listen, I'm not going to pretend that I'm a tea drinker in the morning. I'm a coffee guy in the morning. And I found that even when I get different beans from different parts of the world, I will say at best, the difference is subtle. And I'm sure people will argue with me to the face, but like the diversity of tea, of like how you could really start your day, is such a wide and beautiful thing. Different mood, different day, different place in the world. Like, is that what's informing your cup, or are you, you're like, I travel with me. I have my sachets on me at all times.
Listen, I enjoy a good cup of coffee. I definitely go to the dark side from time to time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not ashamed. I think there's some phenomenal roasters that are out there that are doing some really incredible work. Of course. And I appreciate their craft. When it comes to tea, over 98% of what you're drinking is water. So you want to make sure you're pulling from a really clean source of leaves. And so it could be based on what ritual or mood or energy that I might be looking for. And tea can really help kickstart that, not just based on the caffeine content, but also the polyphenols, the flavonoids, the catechins, all the other good stuff for you that helps get you in that mindset that we call tea mind.
Ooh. Now, I know that tea is really personal. Well, it's personal to anyone who drinks tea, especially about the ritual and how you brew things that. But I know that you getting to tea is deeply personal. I'd love for you to share a little bit your experience of when you first started getting into it and what piqued your interest in this art.
Yeah. So a story here. So when I finished high school, I got a full paid scholarship out of college when I finished high school, I got a full paid scholarship to go to college. And about 6 months into it, my mom got diagnosed with brain cancer.
Mm.
And so I dropped out of college, moved in with her, and we went from one Western doctor to another Western doctor, really trying to figure out what could we do to help her in this healing process. And nothing worked for her. And there's nothing wrong with Western medicine. It just didn't work for my mom.
Of course.
And so she ended up passing away, and it really woke me up into learning about, thank you, just curious about health and wellness and well-being. And but I didn't want to be a doctor, and I didn't want to be an herbologist or an acupuncturist. And they're all interesting. And gladly see them all, but it just wasn't my calling. But I found the school in New Mexico called the Ayurvedic Institute. And there Ayurveda is a form of preventative medicine based out of India. And I learned about food combining and learned about herbology and learned about health and wellness. And was chosen as the only student advanced enough to work with the masters at my school on how to blend and source. And so this is before the internet really took off. It was faxing people and doing phone calls overseas where it was costing, a few dollars a minute. And I was curious. I wanted to go overseas and see how the herbs and botanicals and teas were grown. So I saved up my money. I worked four different jobs. I got a backpack and started traveling around the world to find the best teas and botanicals possible. So I had no idea that I was going to start a tea company. At this point, I was just a huge tea nerd and into it. And started bringing stuff back in my backpack, passing out to friends and family, and then caught the attention of
legality. Okay. On that was what was legality?
Dubious? Team says, don't call it smuggling. Smuggling.
Yeah.
My team said so.
Yeah. Just samples. You bring back souvenirs for friends and family, and sometimes you blend them and give them out, right?
These are the early days. These are the early days. And you couldn't get this stuff. I mean, you can only get supermarket teas, which is sitting on a shelf for a long period of time. And who knows how, and we're like, we got to be able to offer something that's just, I grew up thinking about tea as being a paper tea bag that you can get at a supermarket. Sure. You need to add lemon or milk or sugar, and it was gross until I had real tea. And then I realized I have a duty in this world and a responsibility to share this with as many people as possible. And so our mission still to today is to impact as many lives as we can through tea.
So let me ask you this, because you get into this herbology, you get into this mixing, and people are recognizing your skill. Like, how did you get to a level so quickly? Like, what did you understand about tea, or what do you understand about tea today that other people, even in your profession, may not understand? How did you get to that knowledge so quickly?
I think my training at the Ayurvedic Institute was really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. So not only do I get a base understanding of how, you know, different flavors impact each other. So when you think about, I don't know if you play piano or sure. any instrument, but imagine hitting the keyboard, and it's one thing to hit one note at a time, but combining the notes in sequence is what makes it sound so freaking beautiful. So in the same way, the way that one botanical and another botanical that on their own may have two very different conflicting flavor profiles, when you combine them together, it unlocks very unique flavor and sensations. So I was part of a rash, group of students where every Thursday we would fast and we would just consume one botanical on that Thursday through a tea format. And we'd see how it would impact our taste as the first stage of digestion, how it impacted our digestion, and then the post-digestive effect. I got really sort of in tune with the micro effects of each ingredient. And so I think that training also really helped me understand how to blend and work with different botanicals in unique ways.
I mean, that's pretty incredible to go that dedicated to the fact that you're fasting. And I know I stepped on you a little bit before, but you did mention that you got your tea to Wolfgang Puck. How did that happen? I know you're bringing the tea back. I know tea in the early 2000s was more of like an underground thing. And I have this idea of like meeting up in parks and handing off like different bags of tea, but it's probably not as like
none of that
clandestine as that, right? Yeah. Okay. But how did you get into the food world? How did the word start to spread out of like the tea underground into the more established restaurants of LA?
I was bringing stuff back, into my living room, and I just started blending and creating things for friends and for family. And then I literally knocked on their door, and I knocked on several restaurants and several, places' doors. And they're like, "What is this? We haven't seen anything like this before. Well, why not just have it be in a bag? Why does that have to be loose?" At this point, we were just only doing loose leaf teas. So part of it was the education. I love training and talking about tea. And so knowing that I was working with a group of foodies that were so into it, like, we know about our fishmonger, and yeah, we know about our coffee guy that's going to different parts of the world, but tea, this is a whole new world for us. And so I think just with passion, I just wanted to help as many people as possible really understand. Because if you ask most people, they don't know that much about tea. They think it's just leaves and water. There's so much to unpack. I think the educational piece is what got me really excited.
So traveling to these different parts of the world, especially this young pre-internet, at least definitely like pre-social media, where you could really feel that you've gone to a place without going there, which is a phrase I hate saying, but I think you know what I'm implying.
Yeah.
Was your experience like in these other countries? What were the meals like? Did you catch any music? How immersed in the culture did you get to really understand, the product that you were bringing back and tasting and brewing and things like that?
Yeah, I remember one of the first trips that I did to Asia. There's multiple trips that I did before really starting to lock in our suppliers. But one was, I was like, oh, there's this trade show on tea that was happening. I think it was in Beijing. I was like, I'm going to go. I'm an American. They're going to want to work with me. So I walked in, cocky and confident. And a lot of the response was, one, we don't speak your language. In fact, there's more people that are learning English in China that speak English in America. And to that, like, there's more people in our country in China that we can sell tea to. Why would we even bother selling to you? So I realized that I need to go multiple layers deep and work with the farms. And so part of it was going to these remote areas, getting a moped, and just, you know, trying to meet with different farmers and growers on my own. Even finding interpreters was challenging, because how can you break down some of the nuances when it comes to tea and the local dialects, and have that translated into English? So it took lots of iterations, lots of going back and forth. And that's just China, not to mention working with Japan and working with India and other parts of the world. But really just a passion for, one, understanding what's happening on the root level, and two, how to be able to translate that into our society here in the United States.
I mean, that's amazing and inspiring. All right, let's take a quick musical break. I'm going to come back. I want to talk about launching Art of Tea from that same living room, and how you've grown and scaling up, and everything that comes with that. We have a song from the archives here on Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We are here with Steve Schwartz, CEO, chief creator, master tea blender of Art of Tea. And before the break, we're talking about you making tea in your living room, making blends and things like that. Friends and family doing it for restaurants, but not the business that it is today. When did you first get that idea that this could be bigger, that this could be something that was more formalized?
So I was working at a full-time job as I was starting to create this tea company on the side. And eventually I needed to make a decision. And I was like, okay, I could work this path of this career path. And that's great. That's one path. I recently got married. It was back in 2004. And it was like, or I could do this crazy thing and go all in on tea.
And yourself is really, and yourself.
Yeah. And yourself. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm super grateful for my wife because she was the one that was like, you know what? You could always go back the sure. career path. Like, why don't you lean in and do this crazy thing and try starting a tea company? So I was like, all right, you know what? Let's do it. I just need to make, I think it was like $500 a week. You know, if I just make $500 a week and then move up to $1,000 a week in sales, that, you know, and extract all our expenses of the product and, you know, the labels, and I'll do customer service and marketing and bookkeeping and sales and blending and everything else. And that'll cover the basis. And then eventually I needed to hire someone. I didn't even have the budget for it, but, and I didn't have anyone in my wheelhouse that I could turn to for advice.
Sure.
So I just started, as I was driving around, dropping stuff off or teas off to different restaurants that we were working with, it's like, okay, I need to turn my car into a university. And so I would just listen to books on CD and on my iPod. Wow, I'm really dating myself here. But I just would surround myself with wisdom of people that have had experience in time management and productivity and sales growth. And so that helped me move to a place where I could hire a couple people to free me up to do what I really do well. And they could help me with some of the other things that I suck at. And I suck at a lot of things, but these guys were really helpful for a few things that I needed to take off my plate.
I mean, listen, you know, the world wants everyone to be a unicorn these days. And that's just not the case. I mean, few people could blend as well as you can. That doesn't mean just because you're not as good as making a blended P&L. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, I'll worry about the tea. I'll bring someone else in to worry about the numbers. I'll keep an eye on the numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you get the business off the ground. And it's one thing to sell to restaurants who want to pay for this, who want to pay your premium for tea. And while tea today is obviously in a different spot than when you started almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, it'll be 20 years ago, 2024.
2024. Yeah. I imagine you had to do a lot of education and like get more people to understand like what this is and why it costs more, and without besmirching the available tea, because at least like that opened the door for a market in America.
Totally. Super grateful for the Liptons of the world. And,
of course.
Yeah. Right. All the Starbucks. Yeah. Super grateful for those companies.
How did you find that balance? How did you teach people and then teach people to be like, drink my tea?
Yeah, you know, one argument might be if I'm selling to one restaurant and they're next to several other restaurants, well, what makes your steak different? What makes your wine selection different?
Sure.
You know, what makes your salad dressing different? And if they're able to answer those questions, which most likely they will, they'll, you know, flex their muscles and showcase why what they do is so great, then we can come in, or I can come in and help share some of the benefits of our tea program. And we're not typically sold on supermarket shelves. So you will find our products in Erewhon if you're located in the Los Angeles area. But other than that, you won't find us at, you know, big box stores, you know, the Costco's or the Targets or the Whole Foods of the world. Like, we're really focused on hospitality. So we've stayed true to two major things. One is that direct source link of working with farms. And I just got back from India about a week and a half ago, working with our farms there and our farmers and crafting amazing, delicious teas. So taking that, bringing that into our warehouse, we still do our own blending by hand and packing by hand. And focusing really on that hospitality channel. So it's hotels, resorts, cafes, all throughout the United States. We've expanded over the course of 20 years to the Maldives, Singapore, Japan. And we do some really fun projects. We just did 3 blends for the White House. We do custom blends for Google. We do stuff for Shangri-La or for Caesar's Palace. We've created a unique tea blend for them. And in fact, I trained the first tea sommelier in the United States, and they were based at Caesar's Palace.
Wow. But I mean, I guess that makes sense with so many international people coming in, so many high rollers, having that custom niche of a tea sommelier is just another way. Like you said, like, this is how our casino is different. This is why you're coming here. Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing. And what's it been like going back to the countries where you first went and had to work your way in, making a tea and selling it to people who know and have had tea as such a part of their culture for so long? What's that full circle journey like for you?
I think that there's a love affair between, let's take Japan as an example.
Yeah.
We tend to love what's coming out of Japan, whether it's like, music or technology or animation, imagination projects. And that same love affair is very much in play with the West Coast, with concrete brands from Levi's to really cool food concepts. And so if we're taking something that has been so entrenched in the culture in Japan, and we're having our own West Coast spin on this and delivering that back, it's awesome seeing how we're able to rework something that maybe they were seeing in one way, and now, we're able to tweak it and have a different sort of creative spin on it.
Yeah, in many ways, some places that are tied to tradition and saying we can't do it this way, and then you go like, we're not as tied to that tradition because it's still novel to us, or let's just be frank, like, we're American and we're willing to blow things up and put them back together in our own way. And then present it back to someone else saying, like, just here's something that we love and respect, but we've taken a little different way of approaching it and presenting it.
Yeah. And they love it. They love the creative edge. And I'm super grateful for working with Japan because they've helped us get very myopic on how our packaging, how we apply our labels, how we seal our bags. I mean, they're very technical and they want things presented in a very precise way. So that's gotten our team very much aligned with how are things presented to the customer. And what's the challenging part is getting that dialed in right to ship across the ocean and have that arrive in the same exact condition. But they've continued to help push and drive what we do for the better.
I mean, it's a beautiful relationship. I want to go back to what you're saying about creating these custom blends for about as high of a caliber of client as you can. Take me through that process. Like, when someone comes to you, let's say let's use the White House as an example. How do they come to you? How does it go through your brain? What music are you listening to when you're putting the blend together? Yeah. Like what's the creative process when someone says, like, I want custom from you?
Yeah, it could be a little bit different for each one. So, for example, some of the blends have been created by accident. I remember when I was first blending teas, I was on the phone with a customer and I accidentally blended one ingredient of one blend into another. And I just let it sit on a shelf and I was like, I'll just forget about this. And my wife walks in the living room. She notices it. I'm like, what is that? I was like, it's a mistake. Don't ask me. It's like, well, have you tried it? I'm like, no, I didn't. I know it's bad. Oof, believe me, I know. She's like, well, you might want to try it. And sure enough, she was right. And it was really good. And it's by far one of our best-selling caffeine-free blends that we have. So some of it's by mistake. In cases like a hotel, let's take, there's a hotel that we work with called Shutters on the Beach. And the general manager of that hotel said, here is a signature scent. And it's a shampoo bottle. And I know no one's going to want to drink shampoo. But can you take some of the,
sure,
the top
of course,
notes?
Yes. Yeah. No, I get it.
Come up with a blend. And so I went back and using that piano analogy of the different notes, and I blended, and he's a wine sommelier. So on the first sip, he's like, I don't know how you did this, but you nailed it. Let's go. Let's do this.
Wow.
In terms of the in terms of the White House, or I'll take another example. We work with the Huntington Gardens, and you know, touring their property,
yeah,
and seeing like what are the different botanicals grown on property? What, you know, the different seasons of the year where we can take those different botanicals, the different essences, and how can we blend that into the tea? So we have a couple signature blends that we do for the Huntington Gardens. In terms of the White House was, we got an email from the State Department and it was like, okay, let's contact IT. Like, what's going on? This is obviously spam. And they're like, no, 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 we need an answer. Like, you know, what's happening? And this is a gift that's going to be on behalf of the First Lady for, there's something called the Summit of the Americas. And it was for all leaders of North America to South America that were coming. Sure. And we need to be a gift on behalf of the White House. So it had, here's the signature of, you know, here's the White House logo and here's Dr. Joe Biden's signature. Can you put that on your label? And like, okay, I mean, okay. This is real, right? And so what flavors do you want? Like, well, we need something that's, you know, represents United States. We need something that represents local economy. We need something that represents creativity and innovation. And so we came back with a few different ideas and concepts and they loved them. And we moved forward. It was great. It's weird. And I'm still like, shocked, starting my living room and now doing stuff in the White House.
I mean, cool. It speaks to your skill. I will say,
dude, first of all,
my wife and I are huge fans of the hibiscus blend at Huntington Garden.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's cool. That's good. Thank you. I the whole thing about like being proud and being like, you know, accomplishments.
Sure.
Like, I feel so blessed with our team. I feel so blessed with the opportunity to be able to do this. Like, I don't know how much of it is luck and how much of it is timing and perseverance, but a big part of it is definitely our team. I mean, like, we would not be where we are if it wasn't for just an incredibly talented, gifted group of people that really believe in what we're doing.
And it's amazing that you can fit 24 people into your living room. I'm sure your wife really loves that.
Yeah. No, we're out of our living room. We work out of a beautiful space in just east of downtown Los Angeles in Monterey Park. Capital of
I love it.
Los
Angeles. We can talk about dim sum
all
day. So let me ask you one last question. You've been in the tea lab all day. You've done all your calls. You're not traveling. You're at home, sun setting over, you know, over LA. What are you drinking? What's on the stereo? How are you winding down?
Yeah, it's a great question. All of them. It depends on the day. So, for example, Friday at sundown, we turn everything off. We do a full digital detox. There's no music. There's no technology. We from Friday night to Saturday night, it's a full digital detox.
Wow. And so amazing.
I got to tell you, just, you know, zapping out of technology a little bit, you realize how much your internal battery needs to be recharged. And so I make eye contact with my kids and my wife. We actually have face-to-face conversations. We play card games. I mean, all sort of old school stuff that we probably grew up with. We're doing on a weekly basis. And the tea that we're drinking, we take one of our most popular blends called Earl Grey Creme, and I take fresh mint and I muddle the mint, and that's what I use. And that's our Friday night and Saturday drink. Yeah. Mm,
that sounds fantastic. Earl Grey with mint. Yeah. All right. Well,
It's not just Earl Grey. So what makes Earl Grey
Creme?
Earl Grey?
Yes. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I have it. I think you sent me some, and it's
you got to try it.
It's sitting in the cupboard. I'll just grab some mint from the garden. Well, Steve, congratulations on everything. One last question. If I want a custom blend and I'm just a normal person, are you open to that? I mean, I'm speaking as an avatar for the listeners. Like, can I get a custom blend? How long does it take? Is that even an option?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's got to be synergy. There's got to be good why behind it. I'll give you two examples. One, one I can't talk about yet. We're doing a really cool project that should be launching yet. I wish I could talk about it. I'm so excited to start talking about it. But depending on when this airs. But we about a year year and a half ago, we did a project with Try Guys, Zach from Try Guys. And he's like, Steve, we want to do something where we're launching a tea business. Could we create some blends? Could we create some products? And it was great. I mean, we got like millions and millions of views, lots of people excited about what it takes to start a business online. And the traction was really, really fun. But we went back and forth on, you know, what is it going to take? How's this going to look? But I recommend it. If you just want to learn more about tea, you want to get into it. One, we have on our website, artoftea.com, a whole academy on how to learn more about tea. And two, you can buy different teas and different botanicals and just experiment on your own. Play with it. I think people, I think, are somewhat afraid of messing up with tea.
Sure.
I don't want to make it wrong. I don't know if I'm going to oversteep it. Screw up. Fail faster on trying to make a good tea concoction that works with you. And over time, you'll develop that muscle and that strength.
Amazing. Well, if people want to order tea or see where, you know, they can get it in the real world, or just learn more about tea itself, where can they go? How can they follow along?
Instagram, Art of Tea LA, or our website, artoftea.com. And also wrote a book about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. It's a best-selling book in the hospitality space and tea and coffee space, also called Art of Tea.
Awesome. Well, next time we're at Huntington, we'll enjoy a cup just a little bit more because we got a chance to talk with you. Big shout out to Parker and Diana for helping set this up. We have a song from the archives and then a live performance here on Snacky Tunes on Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back. Star Child, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Doing pretty good.
Love that shirt.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
That
classic twin shadow.
Shout out to George.
Shouts out to George. Poppy.
He's holding it down Tend of the Tree right now for his weekend, Twin Sunday. He does like a food, dance, party attendance out in L.A.
Really?
Yeah. That's really cool. Couple of dance-offs.
Mm-hmm.
I always roll in on Sunday looking bedraggled. Fresh. Yeah. Always looks fresh.
He's always fresh.
Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Really good to have you here.
Nice to talk to brothers, man.
Twins.
Yeah. Are you a brother?
Twins. Yeah, I'm one of four.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What were you guys playing in the house? What music was on the stereo growing up?
A lot of like Stevie Wonder, I think. A lot of like Stevie Wonder Genius Cycle type stuff. We went to like a pretty poppin' church called Union Temple in Southeast DC. Had a great music division, And so we got a lot of that and a lot of Michael Jackson.
Were you involved in the church music program?
No, I wasn't. My mother was growing up. But we got a lot of that. And then we also got like all the great 90s radio stuff. Like I was a huge DMX fan, like Jay-Z, early Rockefeller, Bad Boys, Nelly, and then we moved to Atlanta. And we went to the middle school and high school that like Usher and Sierra and all these kids went to. So that was like, that's where we got a lot of.
So classic Motown, gospel, pop,
R&B. And then also I was, I spent a little time in the Unification Church, which has its weird kind of like connection to John Denver, which was probably my first entrance into like traditional, you know, Caucasian folk music,
right?
For lack of better phrase.
I think did you grow any affinity for that, or
I love Country Roads. Are you serious? Okay. And then it's weird being a
everyone loves that song.
Yeah.
Any other John Denver songs?
Well, that was like the only one we were supposed to sing. Okay. But I did see his like biography movie and had a little affinity towards his stories. Sad, tragic figures.
I mean, it's good storytelling. Crashes. Really good storytelling.
Great storytelling.
More than just like, as much as I love Sierra, like Ride It is not the most. I mean, that's a great story too.
But Sierra's catalog is wide and vast too. Like she has a song like Promise, and Promise is one of the best written songs of that decade. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's and produced and performed. That song is amazing.
So going to that high school, was that just like kind of like all the
middle school? Yeah,
I'm sorry,
it's okay.
Going to the middle school, was that all the kids like listened to it? Like that was just like the predominantly on like the playlist or other
I mean, like it was crazy. Like I remember the week where like. Get Rich or Die Trying came out. It was like the month and like the Love Below came out and all that stuff, and people having debates over what's the better like album, and I was like always the guy who was like trying to put each record in their proper context.
It's like, listen, you know, I get like, what you're saying.
I mean, no, look, I was in Atlanta, so it was like predominantly there was a lot of black folk, but there was like a lot of white kids who loved classic rock, and I'd have to have full-on arguments about why, like, you know, Jimmy Page's like pentatonic solos ain't really cutting it against like Carlos Santana or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? But like, this is sixth grade, you know, and they don't really understand. I was like, no, but like, you have to understand where like, if Jimmy Page was sitting here right now, he would be like, he would be agreeing with me.
Yeah, he'd be like, he's right. He's right. Like, you know? Like note for note, he's right. Like, I can't argue with
him. Or like Guns N' Roses. I mean, but I love everything.
So when did you start getting into making your own music, or how did that kind of come about?
You know, I was born in 92. So like all the kids know the day when they got a cell phone or got like internet access, you know, or like a Mac kind of access. So sure. I think around the time I got GarageBand at some point in middle school, it was like, oh, here are the Pharrell-esque tools for me to assemble these musical ideas that have always, you know, been around.
I think by that time, the idea of making your own music had become way more accessible than...
Absolutely.
Like we were born in 82, and the idea of like making a record or making music really until like Mac just became and GarageBand was like, oh, wait, you can actually make music unless you had a guitar or something like that.
Right.
So was your approach, did you just like play around with beats and loops and singing, or did you have like any musical training, or was it more like computer program first and then other stuff came in?
Well, all of my musical training was kind of steeped in like tenor saxophone and symphonic marching band.
Oh, nice.
And I kind of like taught myself all the other instruments, but in terms of like music production, it was like I went straight to making beats and rapping, and like me and my brothers used to rap and stuff, and I would be the one who would cut up all the samples and like chop it up. And...
Favorite marching band song though?
Oh man, in marching band?
Yeah.
It's like it's a dead heat tie between like Earth, Wind, and Fire, In the Stone, and like Cameo, Talking Out the Side of Your Neck. It's like, you know, man, because those horn lines are just nasty.
Yeah. Can we get a song?
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to play for us first?
Fittingly, I'll play one of the first songs when I transitioned from rapping predominantly to singing songwriting.
What's it called?
It's called All My Lovers.
Okay, great. Live on Snacky Tunes.
had quite a lot of lovers. I know that you're used to these parts of town. Maybe I'm new to this type of rapture. And it's been mighty hard getting down to you. All night long I spend with the love of mine. Here and after. But baby, you're the one that's on my mind. 'Cause all of my lovers, they look the same as you. And I don't know why. But if she asks you, then tell no one. See, baby, you're the kind to run through my mind. So much I can't run and hide. No, let me hold you tight. Two hearts can make it right, but you're gone. You're the only one I've been thinking of. Heart so full, we fall in love, baby. Only one I've been thinking of. Heart so full, we fall in love, sugar. Only reason I toss and turn, my heart still burns. You're not with me, yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause all of my loves, they look the same as you. I don't know why. But if she asks you, then tell no one the truth.
So what took you from Atlanta to New York?
I'm from D.C. and grew up in Maryland. And then we moved down to Atlanta for about 5 years. And then we moved back to Maryland for high school. And I guess just the old school college situation. I had some irons in the fire, and one of them was SUNY Purchase Acting Conservatory.
How's your acting game?
It's good. I got a video dropping tomorrow. It's like a mini little short film.
So yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
What's the premise? What's the song?
It's the mood you guys played earlier. It's kind of like, I guess all the videos I do, they're trying to just deal with the influences and deal with how I've kind of, there's a long story of like self-identity and trying to figure out who you are, especially as a black man and a young black boy. Like, and so my influences, all the people have kind of like, in many ways, and everyone can relate to it, you figure out kind of what you want to do or what you can possibly do. You know, representation kind of matters. So the video is like a cauldron of all these different influences, like Michael Jackson Bad video and all the other people I've played for and stuff like that.
I mean, you've played for some...
You've got a nice list of rosters of collaborators for
good
being
people.
24, I would say. 23.
That's
all right. No, it's okay.
I know the Solange tour happened while you were in college, which we both saw you play. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the Bowery Ballroom show.
Yeah.
And a bunch of those. Yeah, and we've known Dev for a long time from the show and other stuff we've done with him. So
from his short-lived magic career.
Yeah.
He is awesome at sleight of hand magic.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. True story. True fact.
Now that you were kind of like, playing like supporting roles and now you are really moving into your own kind of stuff, how has like the tables been turned where you supported them and then they're now supporting you? Or what advice have they given you as you start to branch out on your own career?
Yeah, I really wouldn't say it's like that yet. I mean, I'm just waiting until Solange drops her album. It's going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm so super stoked to play and help her out in any way. It's been cool, I guess, because they all, our relationships kind of were founded off of like, we got to meet each other and they knew that yeah. I had these talents or things that I could do to help contribute. And part of like the audition processes were like, I played them some of my music. So they kind of know or knew. And I've been talking to Dev since I was 17 and sending him stuff. And it's like, we're all just kind of like friends and family. And it's, they're just really supportive. They're like, yeah, right.
That's awesome. I mean, it's so nice. I think especially, I would say maybe with like the internet and social media and things like that, like mm-hmm. it's never been easier to be supportive or to like find collaborations. In the same way when you talk about just getting GarageBand, it's just like, all right, I really want to work with you. I'm going to track you down. I think that
it's
was your
tricky.
Story. With,
yeah, it's, but it's tricky. It's tricky. It's tricky. To say, because there's a fine line. Like I like to talk about it like my family, we're all from Mississippi and Native American, and there's a level of like intuition and primitive dreams and things like that. I don't want to get into so much, but I'll say this. I wouldn't have contacted any of those people if I didn't really deeply feel like I had a place with them or to help or
can
like,
you talk a little bit more about that?
So for instance, like, I mean, I'll do interviews and people will be like, oh, or I'll play shows and people like, you're just like blood orange and stuff. And sometimes it can really come off like, you know, divisive or sure. something like that, but really it's like, you know, Dev and I, we can just sit in a room and talk, me and Adam Kindness and yeah. Solange, we can talk about like, Solange has a shelved country record that she made when she was younger than me, you know what I mean? Like, we all have the same kinds of influences and just cut from the same cloth in different corners of the table.
Is that a country album all John Denver covers?
Not at all. I don't believe so at all. They're all original and like amazing.
Really?
Yes.
But I mean, I think like the concept of that is like, as you find your place in the world, it's like you find your people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I only know from traveling and, you know, doing the work that I do, it's like you find people and you chat with them, but then like you'll sit down next to someone and have a conversation and 2 hours will go by when normally it's like 3 minutes and you're just like, how do I get out of this? And then you find those people and you never exactly want to let them that. Go yeah, like exactly ever. That. So it's like, and it's rad to find people that you can also work with and be creative with, and just you say like four words and like, yep,
right,
I totally get it.
Or the people that you can trust who are gonna edit you and say, no, that's not a good idea.
Oh, totally.
Which is rarer than the people who are just like, yeah, man, that's great. Oh, that's so great. And you're like, is it really great? Is it really great?
Can we hear another song?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did you have a thought?
Well, I was gonna say, you know, I never like plan, and even now, it's not like I have some kind of plan or anything like that. I'm only, you know, there's a great Blanche DuBois line where she's like, I've always
relied on the kindness of strangers.
And it's like, I wouldn't have been here if it weren't for my best friend Chester, who's Lord Raja on Ghostly, trying to like tell me like, hey man, like you can really rap and stuff, and like you should just rap over these beats. And then like that happened, and that was a mixtape, and then it was like, met some folk like James Blake, and these people were like, no, you should sing. And it's like, not that I haven't been doing these things since I was really young, but like, you know, you grow up in a family, in a community where you go to church and people are like singing to the hilt, and yeah. those people aren't signed, like they go back, they go home and they raise their kids, and it's like really humbling to you. So I grew up being like, yeah, I could do all these things, but like, I'm only gonna do the one I'm tried and tested in, and like,
right.
you know, so acting was that thing, but it's been nice with the support system to feel supported.
It's good to have encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the name of the next song?
Next song is Slammin' Mannequin.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, here we have Slammin' Mannequin live on Snacky Tunes.
Say a word to me, a word to me. The way you drift away, I swear you take the cake. Swear to God on earth that you're my fantasy, baby. And we don't have to talk at all. As long as I could look and see your face, you could be my slamming mannequin. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in. Who's to say
say that you're not falling in love with me, in love with me. You could be my slam then mannequin with the greatest fashions, let it in. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me? Is it in my mind, or do you fit in my heart right there? From the window I see so clear your face, your hair. I can't get enough of you and what you do. Be my girl for a day or two now. When we speak, said no one knows. You strike a pose, you let it go. Whether I love you so, I've got to let you know that you could be my slamming mannequin girl. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in, baby. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me, baby? You can be my slamming mannequin girl. Rock the greatest fashions and let it in, baby. Who's to say that you're not falling in love with me, baby? Oh, girl, you should know that I've got you on my mind. Secret admirer, yeah. Hell, I've been watching you, baby. Should know that I've got you on my mind. Secret admirer, baby. Hell, I've been watching you.
Nice little sample in there.
All right.
Yeah, a little fun.
Yeah, you can go.
No, you go. So, out video drops tomorrow.
Yes.
And what does the rest of your year look like? What would you like it to look like?
It might be premature to say. Speaking of George, I might be doing this Purple Rain Meadowlands.
Oh, yeah, saw that. That looks amazing. I mean, you did Sign of the Times in full, right, at Brooklyn Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how was that?
Well, that day, my dad was stuck in Peru and had to have emergency surgery.
Oh, no.
And then also, at the same time I found that out, I found out that we had been moved early in the slot because none other than Usher and the Roots were going to play right after us. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, who's bumping us? Who's bumping? That's fine.
No, it wasn't even. That's funny. But it was just like, at that point, I was such in shell shock. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Did you pull some middle school alum card with Usher?
Oh man, I didn't get to meet him, but I did have a private powwow with Questlove though, which was pretty
awesome.
Yeah, especially when he's playing you all the most rare prints you could ever imagine—the stuff that people always thought was deleted—and that's all I'm gonna say on that.
Oh man! So you might play with George for the Meadows, which looks like—I mean, that Sunday lineup. I mean, the weekend looks good, but that Sunday lineup looks incredible.
Crazy.
Explain to the people what it is. It's the new Governor Ball Festival in October. Yes. And that Sunday, it's like George doing Purple Rain and Food, but also Chance and Kanye. Mm-hmm. And there's more, but you know, that's enough for a Sunday.
Bonkers.
Yeah. And then you are working on a new LP as well.
Sure I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Working on a new LP. It's a lot of, because Crucial, the last EP I put out was the project of college and stuff, and so a lot of that was finished, and I've been writing the LP for some time now, and it's coming.
It's time to birth it.
It's time.
And then some upcoming shows in August as well, right?
Yes. August 10th at Come On Everybody, and I believe August 16th at the House of Yes.
Wonderful.
And yeah.
Cool. Well, we want to make sure we have time for one more song. Also, congrats on the New York Times.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was like really cool to see as well. And that's like, I mean, damn, dude, 23. Hey. Like, that's pretty rad. Good intuition.
We've always said that you've really made it as a New Yorker when you get your name in the New York Times.
Yeah. Wow. That also like gets everyone off your back for at least a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's good. Like, all right, mom, dad. Like, we're cool.
I know. I got the copies in my closet.
Did you send one to everyone, to your brothers, just to show them up? Hey, man, wasn't sure if you saw it. Wasn't sure. Hope you're doing well.
I definitely dropped the link in the group text.
Yeah. You can't sign a group text, though. So where can people find you, find your EP, find your tour dates, get a hold of you?
I think all the music's on Spotify and Tidal and what have you, and you can check the Facebook page. It's just .com/thisisstarchild, and also my Twitter is Black Till the Future. It's BLKTIL the future, like the film, but not the film. And then my Instagram is Bob McFerrin, like the man, but not the man.
Got it. And shout out to Sam from Ghostly.
Yeah,
shout and out Amanda to Sam as well,
and Amanda Colvinson. And this next song is the first single on the next LP is dedicated to them.
I believe it said this is the first single off the new album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks to Wine Enthusiast Magazine. Darren, good to see you in studio.
It's so good. Shout out to the whole Heritage family, Dave, Patrick, Aaron.
Hi to Anna and Ornella.
Shout out to Mom and Dad, to Meatball. And thank you for the Roberta's Pizza. Delicious. Yeah.
You went wild. All right. Starchild, take us out.
This song is called Hanging On.
Fell asleep. Oh. Fell asleep last night, thinking about you. I saw you in my sleep, chased you till morning came. My mama said, follow your dreams. I guess you were my warning. Now I've let myself go. Hope you're still holding on.
Snacky Tunes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.